Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith.
Sometimes we Christians pray without a sense of great need. It can be perfunctory, like saying grace at a meal. But then there are times when we get desperate and need answers from God as soon as possible. Today, why fasting is a key way to make this happen. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer brings part one of a look at combining prayer and fasting, just what we may need when circumstances are overwhelming. Now, here is Pastor Lutzer with Desperate Praying.
It's true to say that only desperate people pray. It's only desperation, really, that drives us to our knees, either the desperation of a situation and circumstances, or possibly the desperation to know God, which is a much better desperation. But only desperate people pray. And another reason why people don't pray is they think that God doesn't really answer prayer anyway. It's not going to change anything. So even Christians have been known to go day after day without any substantive praying. What a tragedy. And then when it comes to desperate praying, I'm reminded of the fact that in the Bible, fasting is mentioned at least 50 times. Jesus assumed that people would fast. Jesus never said, "Now, if you fast, do this." He said, "When you fast, then make sure that you don't do it as an outward show." And even though it occurs so often in Scripture, Moses fasted, the prophets fasted, Nehemiah fasted, Jesus fasted, Paul fasted, all of the apostles, the early church fasted, somehow we think to ourselves that that doesn't apply to us. We think that fasting went the way of medieval mysticism. It went the way of the monastery. Why should we fast if we can actually feast? You know, the Apostle Paul says, and I think it's the King James Version, he says in 1 Corinthians, "I buffet my body." And we change that a little bit, and we say, "I buffet my body." Why should we do without food, we say to ourselves. And then, in addition to that, we add the other stipulation and say that, "I don't understand why it works. Why is fasting important? After all, no matter when we pray, we always come to God on the basis of Jesus Christ. God hears us, and we know that God hears us. Why is he going to hear us anymore just because we fast?" And so Christians don't fast, by and large. A few do. And yet fasting, which played such a great role in the history of the church and the writings and the experiences of the biblical characters, has all but disappeared from the church. And I want to change that beginning today. But first of all, a couple of misconceptions and misuse regarding fasting. In fact, maybe that's the reason why we are so reluctant to fast, is because we know that it can be misused. For example, misuse number one is it's a way to manipulate God. After all, God hasn't answered my prayer when I just pray generally, and now I'm going to fast, and it's about time that he come through for me, and my fasting will prove my sincerity. And how can God in heaven say no if I fast? Watch it. That's a misuse of fasting. It's not a way to manipulate God. It's not a way to get your will. David fasted when he was told that his child was going to die. In fact, the Bible says that he went out and he lay on the ground and fasted, and yet the child died. It's not a way to manipulate God. There's a second problem that people have with fasting, and it's a great danger, and that is they use it as merit. By that I mean they think to themselves, "Well, you know, after all, I've done a lot of things bad, I'm living in sin, I'm sleeping with my girlfriend, but if I fast, surely that'll kind of balance things out and even the score." God has a great deal to say about that. You know, in the book of Isaiah, the Lord made it very, very clear that he was not interested simply in people fasting and doing all the right things and even humbling themselves. He says that the fast that he has chosen, he says, is a day for a person to humble himself. Yes. Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke, and to share your bread with the hungry and the homeless, and on it goes. God is saying, if your fasting doesn't change your heart, if your fasting does not increase the amount of love that you have in your heart and your ability to do good works, then stop it. I can't stand this outward act of fasting unless it brings about an inner change. There's a third misuse, and that is, of course, piety. Jesus referred to this, you remember, in the book of Matthew, and he made it very clear. He said, when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they've received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. The fact is that many people make this syllogism. Pious people fast, I am fasting, therefore I must be pious. Don't make a big deal of it. That's what Jesus is saying. But whatever you do, don't think to yourself, wow, I want everybody to know that I fasted. So they all say, oh, he's so spiritual, he must glow in the dark at night. That's what Jesus was speaking about. Fasting is a full body response to God, usually at a critical time and a critical time of desperation. That's what fasting is. I want to say a few words about your body when you fast. Your friends will tell you that you are going to starve to death. Your stomach is going to tell you that they want to take you to court because this is cruel and unusual punishment. You're going to think of every reason in the world why this is a very bad idea. Because our stomach cries out and says, what are you doing to me now? So first of all, what fasting does to the body is it teaches us some discipline. It says to that stomach of yours, no matter how much you holler, no matter how painful it gets, I'm going to show you I don't have to eat. Now, if you're anorexic, don't fast. Go to a doctor, get some help, put on some weight. But most of us don't fit into that category, and I have some news for you. If some of you were to fast a full 36 hours, I assure you that you would still be alive at the end of the fast. You will be, promise. So that's one benefit to the body. The other benefit is that it reminds us of a lesson that we need to learn. Just as we need food for our body and our bodies cry out when we do not give it that food, in the very same way, that's what God is to the soul. And you see, we spend all of our time being concerned about the body and how much we eat and sometimes what we eat and all that is important and how our body looks, and our soul is totally neglected when really God is to the soul what food is to the body. How important is God to you? So when you have those hunger pains and when your stomach tells you that this is a very, very bad idea and you are going to be irritable, at that moment you say, God, I wish that I desired you as much as I desire a hamburger right now. Wouldn't that be wonderful if we desired God that way? Now, in the Bible, there's very little evidence that fasting was ever done for physical reasons, and I know that doctors disagree on this. But I was talking to one person who said that a longer fast, maybe 7 days, maybe 21 days, of course, with a lot of water and maybe juices, will actually bring about a cleansing and a healing of the body. He said that when you go through this period of time, there may be aches and pains that you're experiencing, and the body is healing itself. So there may be benefits to the body. But in the scripture, the real benefit of fasting is always connected with the soul. It's connected with the soul. And in the Bible, fasting is always connected with confession of sin. That's why fasting and mourning always go together. You'll notice, for example, Joel speaks about this. And he says, "Yet now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments, and return to the Lord, for he is gracious and merciful." You see, what the people were doing is, because in biblical times, the ripping of your clothes indicated your mourning. They would go through all of these rituals. They tear their clothes. They would let everybody know that they were fasting. And God says, don't tear your clothes. Don't rend your garments. Rend your heart. Understand that the real purpose of fasting is a deeper kind of repentance. You see, fasting will bring out your sin. As a matter of fact, the very fact that you are so irritable because you haven't eaten, Lord help you, for a couple of hours, that very fact shows that, you know, you are still quite a sinner, aren't you, and quite unsanctified. Why should skipping a few meals cause you to be so difficult to get along with? Why can't the Holy Spirit of God give you a sense of peace and tranquility even in the midst of hunger? Thousands of Christians throughout the world have had to prove that. Because remember, many people are starving. So can the Holy Spirit of God work in our hearts when we are hungry, or does the Holy Spirit only bring about his fullness and his satisfaction when we're fully satisfied? That's the purpose of fasting, is to help us to see that we are greater sinners than we realized, so that we may repent more fully of our sin.
Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and with a heavy heart, I have to say, as you well know, around the world, there are many people who are starving today, and among them are believers. But we here at Running to Win do all that we possibly can to share the good news of the gospel. I'm sure you realize that the program that you have just listened to is available around the world indeed. Sermons, blogs, articles, all of our digital material is available at no cost. And we do that because we want to get the gospel of Jesus Christ to many. Would you consider helping us? Would you consider becoming what we call an endurance partner? Sure hope that you have a pen or pencil handy right now, because I'm going to give you some info whereby you can check to see what that means. Go to offerrtw.com. Offerrtw, of course, is all one word. Go to offerrtw.com, click on the Endurance Partner button, or call us at 1-800-215-5001.
Today, Erwin Lutzer introduced Desperate Praying, a look at why fasting combined with prayer can be crucial at times of great need. Next time, join us as we conclude this teaching here on Running to Win. Running to Win is all about helping you find God's roadmap for your race of life. Desperate Praying can be yours on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. For Pastor Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.